Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 17 until the end. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. And the ending words to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. The Lord will bless His precious word. I want to think of these two last verses of Habakkuk as representing that which we can take for ourselves as we come to the conclusion of a conference of a time like this. And we want to realize that Habakkuk would have, if we have read the book, he lived at a very difficult time. And on the throne at that time was an evil king. And the survey of the book that bears his name tells us that it's not easy for him to say these words. And so when we come to verses 18 and 19, we enjoy and appreciate that these are one of the brightest words of faith that would come to the believer, the reader of the scriptures. In the Old Testament, expressions of faith that, dear brother, dear sister, we might also want to learn. How did Habakkuk do it? We may still go back to discouragement. We may go out into the world that hasn't changed and we know the progress and it's hasting down to its own direction and destination. But we want to take away from all that we have heard today and yesterday, and what we have enjoyed. And we want to adopt these words, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Just survey with me quickly, please, the three chapters. And again, as someone or all of us, as we study God's Word, survey the chapters from the perspective of God. And if we do it, then we will call chapter 1, God will discipline. And then we come to chapter number 2, we will perhaps discover God will deal with those that He uses in discipline. And then we come to chapter number 3, God will deliver yet His own people. Dear brother, dear sister, may we know that God will discipline, but that God will deal with all things, that He will always come forth as a righteous God. And then finally, He hasn't forgotten His people. God will deliver those that will look to Him. If we come from the perspective of the believer, perhaps we can think of chapter 1. The believer's why. And then we come to chapter number 2. We are told in chapter number 1, in verse number 3, the believer's why. Why this? Why is this happening? In chapter number 2, we are told the believer's wait. And we have these words quoted by the writer to the Hebrews, and he applies it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Though it tarry, wait for Him, concerning the vision. And we're so glad that that vision has become a reality and a substance. And today we have heard already the beauties and all that speaks well concerning the beloved Son of God. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Here is the believer's why met with the believer's wait. And chapter 3 ends with the believer's worship. We want to think of the three chapters as well having a program. God has a program. And in almost every portion of the Bible, in the Old Testament, He gives us previews of His program. And in chapter 1, we see Israel. If we are thinking of our time, from the day in which they rejected the Messiah, we know very well what happened in AD 70, God dealing with Israel. But in chapter number 2, God deals with the Gentiles. And you think of these 2,000 years ever since the fall of Jerusalem. And you think of how the first 1,000 years have been, very interestingly, God dealing with the Jewish nation in their unbelief and in their rejection of the Christ. And the next 2,000 years, how the Gentile world takes the shape that it does until today. And modern history tells us in a very interesting way. And then we come to the third chapter. We see not just God dealing with Israel, God dealing with the Gentiles, but we have God dealing with the world through the Anointed One, the Christ of Calvary. Because chapter 3, not only is it a reflection and a looking back towards that journey or that manifestation of power from Mount Sinai unto the land of Canaan, but also the same manifestation of the return in glory, of which we have already had a little preview this afternoon. Here we see God's ways. And if chapter 3 can be that third 1,000 year, reminding us of that third day in John chapter 2, the millennial 1,000 year will be something that the world has long awaited for. And so, simply by just looking at these things, it's a wonderful thing that we can come to these last verses and then take for ourselves, I am still able to rejoice in the Lord. And we want to ask Habakkuk, Habakkuk, how do you do it? We also would want to discern. So I want to think of 7 things in these 2 verses. First of all, I want to think of him saying, yet I will. He has seen something very precious. He has begun with a burden. But in chapter number 2, God begins to deal with him and he sees God in his full composure. And there are 3 statements of blessings that we use in the New Testament. And we can discern that in verse number 4. The just shall live by faith. Verse number 14 in chapter 2. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in verse number 20, the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. He comes to chapter 2 and he begins to learn the composure of God. God is still watching His own. He says, I know my own. The just shall live by faith and I will grant them rich grace to take them through. Dear believer, may we know that God is still watching His own. Then, when we come to verse number 14, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as Habakkuk sees Babylonians coming in, taking away all that belongs to God and setting up heathen knowledge, idolatrous knowledge, the gods of nothing. And for him to be encouraged, the earth shall yet be filled. Although it is swept and ravished, the earth shall yet be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Dear believer, can you say that concerning your own life? That not just is faith, your faith with God and your walk with God precious, but that your own little heart and your life can still yet be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. It will happen in the day to come. It can happen even from this conference. But not only that, we think of the Lord in His government. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. He is still on the throne. He will supply and watch over His own. Will you allow God's government to deal and guide you and lead you? And this is what we have seen. And as Habakkuk comes to these last verses, he takes the change. And we know the song. You come through that song at the beginning of chapter number 3. Look at what he says in verse number 4. And his brightness was as the light. He begins with a burden. Then he sees God is still the one that will bless. And he gives the words of blessing. And now he sees the brightness of the coming day. The brightness of his God. May we, dear believers, see that brightness even from this conference as we think of that which we have heard. And so how does Habakkuk do it? He says, first of all, yet I will. This is the difference that comes from the revelation of his word. The difference the word of God makes in the life of the Christian. Are you still reading? Will you not take up the book again, dear believers? As we have heard how the scriptures can relate in so many ways, pointing to Christ, pointing to me, pointing to everyone in this congregation, may we know that there is a difference. Here is a man who came forth, came out worrying, and he is ending worshiping. A man that came, started with being restless with the ways of God, unsatisfied, questioning, he comes forth settled, established, knowing that God knows what he is doing, and I will do my part. Dear believer, will you and I do my part? We can be dissatisfied with so many things in this world, but will you allow the Holy Scriptures to make a difference in your life? It made it for Habakkuk. For all the discouragement that he faced, it made it for him the difference the revelation of his word will make. It can do for you too. Dear brother, dear sister, we come further. Rejoice in the Lord. Here is the disposition of rejoicing. Not just try to be happy-clappy. Not just trying to be trying to change and forget that the things are real that you are facing. But that the word tells us that we leap. The word rejoice. To leap from him. The Lord allows himself to be that foundation. The Lord allows himself to be that platform from which we can again regain some strength and leap, stand, and take off. And dear brother, dear sister, how precious it is that we can rejoice in the Lord. I was enjoying all that dear brother Tom was speaking of how in those situations, God causes us to rejoice, to just say, this is what God is doing, to just see, this is what God has done, to hear these things, and to know that if this is done all the way there in LA, and all the way in all these parts of the world, it can do so as well. May I still rejoice in the Lord. The benefit and the bonus is that what I hear here, I can do the same and lean on the same Lord. And rejoice in the Lord. Oh, the disposition, the entire frame of mind to just be upon him. And the Lord invites us to do these things. I move on further. He says, I will. I will. What a determination. Here is the determination to remain with God. There is every reason to go away. There is every reason to just turn the other way. But Habakkuk says, I will. The determination to remain. I want to think of Habakkuk. This book is very unique. In other books, when the prophets see the problems, sometimes they will go and speak to the nation. And at other times, they will do such and such. But Habakkuk is unique in its contribution because when he saw the problem, he had no one to turn to. And he spoke to God. And that was all that he could do. In chapter 1, he spoke to God. In chapter number 2, he solved it with God. And in chapter number 3, he was satisfied with God. Dear believer, if there be no one else to turn to, here is something you can do. Speak to God. He is still there. I will remain with God. And then he solved it with God. That is what I find great encouragement, that if you were just to tarry, if you were just to hear what he has to say, that you can solve it and he will be the solution and he will give the answer. And Habakkuk comes away satisfied, settled, that he knows God will yet bring forth the help and the deliverance. So I leave this third point, the determination to just remain with God. Joy in the God of my salvation. Here is the fourth one. How good it is. Joy in the God of my salvation. It is very personal. My salvation. This is like the Apostle Paul. He says, my gospel. It's not him being selfish, but Paul has learned the value of that which Christ in his work has done. And he knows how those things we have heard to keep the purity of the doctrines of the gospel, Paul knows. And he expounds and he says, my gospel. This is something that Paul has rejoiced in. And this is what we can relate. Joy in the God of my salvation. He says, my God. How good it is. He has spoken. God has taught him to be abased. God has taught him to be lifted up. And then he says to the Philippian believers, after they have sacrificed the things that they have given, he says, my God. He knows his God. And what a joy it is that we too can know our God in such a personal, precious way. And then he could say to the Galatians, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, to know that personal power. Dear believers, may we continue to have this refreshing power to always trace back to the moment when we can know the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. It's a very personal triumph. This is what Habakkuk has done. Joy in the God of my salvation. This is the words of Mary in the Old Testament. Rejoice in the God of my salvation. It's a personal triumph, dear brother, dear sister. Will you come forth in this experience as well? Not just is it a personal triumph, it was a personal deliverance. He was bogged down with one way of thinking. He was trapped in this moment or this mode of looking at things, looking at people, and looking at Israel in its disobedience, looking at the dissatisfaction of how can the Gentiles do this? Worse than the people of God. But now he has experienced a personal deliverance in that way of thinking. Not just a personal triumph, but a personal deliverance. But when he is delivered, it is a personal development, dear believers, that we progress when God takes us to see things in the way he desires, and his word is the means by which, his spirit is the means by which we come to joy in the God of my salvation. And so we leave point number four. We come to point number five. He comes afresh. He says now, verse number 19, the Lord God is my strength. This is what I want to call the discovery from the renewal of understanding. All that he has seen in chapter 1 and chapter 2, and God dealing with this with him, and he rises now in thanksgiving. He has discovered God afresh. And you can see it in his title. Lord God is not Jehovah Elohim. Mr. Newbery tells us it's Jehovah Adonai. And Jehovah Adonai is used only three other times in the Old Testament, especially in the Psalms, and it relates to David's experience. David's experience in knowing God's deliverance. David's experience in being oppressed and how he escaped and how he finally saw the day God delivered him and set him where he could praise his God again. Dear believer, will you know that? Here is a discovery to again come away from this time of gathering to discover a renewed understanding is a very precious thing indeed. The Lord God is my strength. I want to come to number six. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. And this is before I say it, the hind is not just known for its sure-footedness, and we thank God for these creatures that will bring us that figure of sure-footedness and steadiness. But there is something special in the hind. And the hind is that red female, the female red deer. And every time it is about to give birth, it will find a spot in the high place. And that spot in the high place is usually secure. It's hidden. It's away from danger. And from there, it gives birth to its young. And here is what Habakkuk says: He will make my feet like hinds' feet. Not the shape of it, but the character of it. That he has now gained something precious about his God, and he's going to go, and he's going to preserve it, and he's going to make sure that it will not be taken and attacked, it will not lose it, it will not be diminished. You know, we live in a day in which there's so much that will come in. After this evening, entertainment program number one, or leisure activity number two, and all these many things, we are living in the day in which there's so much to attract in leisure. And I want to just speak to young persons, the sports, the entertainment, and the movies. It will take away, dear believers, and if you have learned God in this renewed way afresh, may you allow God to give you hinds feet to go and store, to go and meditate, to go and place these things in a way in which you can impart, replicate, reproduce, preserve it for the generation to come. For this is what God has promised, and Habakkuk says, He will make my feet like hinds' feet. Oh, I just want to call this the diligence to reside in the purpose of God, the diligence to always come away, not just to quickly go and switch on the latest political radio station, although these are things of concern. But do remember, the evil one concerning whom we have heard is very quick to come and take away things. And so let us be diligent to reside in the things that God has given us and count it precious and keep and preserve. And we come to the seventh one. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Here is the direction to and into the refuge of God, a direction to take. He will make me to walk. And the high places here would be the backside or the back part or the back portions where the ledges are, the protection of God. And we heard prayer at the beginning of the conference that we must go away in a way in which we do not come the same way we took when we came here. Dear believers, I'm reminded of the wise men, obviously. What is it that they took away that was so special with them? Well, it was because they have done several things concerning Christ that eventually they took that different path and direction. First of all, as we think of these last moments and before I take my seat, they learn Christ in prophecy. I would think that they would have gained something from Daniel in all that generation, the wise men from the east, and we can talk about that below the pulpit. But I would like to think that there was a knowledge concerning prophecy. But at that time, from their point of view, it is detached. It is distant. It's difficult to understand all that Daniel had spoken. But that's the same. When we come as a young believer, prophetic teaching sometimes can be detached, distance away. It doesn't relate to me, and it is difficult. But these men learn it well. And because they learned the prophetic scriptures well, they eventually went on to come to the Lord Jesus Christ finally. Not only did they learn Christ in prophecy, they anticipated Christ in nature to understand that our surrounding is always use of God, and God is in our surrounding, and they anticipated Christ in their nature, in nature. But then they heard Christ when they came to Jerusalem in the scriptures, and that's what we have done. We have heard Christ in the scriptures. But they went further. They saw Christ in humanity. How wonderful it was for that moment when they saw Christ in His humanity, that holy child. And I trust, dear believers, we too would have seen Christ today in His humanity, the glory of His incarnation. And then they offered to Christ in their worship, and those things that we know, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, so precious. And then They serve Christ in their offerings. For we know very well that very soon, just as they would leave, Mary and Joseph were called upon to wake up in the middle of the night and venture into Egypt, stay there until word comes from God again. Where would they have the money? Where would they have the preservation? The gold, frankincense, and myrrh would be used in a measure, in a certain measure as a provision. And so these men having come, not only have they offered to God their presentation, but those things which they served became provision for the young child and Joseph and Mary. Not only did they serve Christ with their provision, but they saw the preciousness of Christ. We have heard already this morning when they were warned of God to not tell Herod, they realized this is precious in the sight of God, and they took away the sense of how precious the Savior was. They honored Christ by their obedience. I trust we would obey the Scriptures as we hear these things spoken by grace and with exercise from our fellow brethren. They honored Christ by their obedience. And as they went their way, they kept Christ in their heart. And as they took another way, it was another way which was far away from the attack of the evil one. Herod could not even touch them because they took a different direction. Dear believers, as we take another way, may it be a way that is wiser. May it be a way that is more vigilant. May it be a way that will be more careful, that the things that we have gained will not easily slip and be lost and things are in vain, but that we come. These two verses, there are two I wills and there are two He wills. When we are resolved with the two I wills before God, then Habakkuk says he will do his part as well. May we know resolve before God, and in that, know assurance that he will do his faithful part until we see the Savior very soon. The Lord bless his precious word.